What a lot of current Republicans don't seem to get is that a healthy economy doesn't just mean you're maximizing your own profits through massive layoffs or busting unions. You don't make America stronger by shipping jobs and profits overseas. When Governor Romney or the Republicans who control the House of Representatives propose cutting taxes for folks who don't need them while raising them on 18 million working families, that's not a recipe for economic growth. And by the way, there's nothing new about these ideas. This is the same old stuff they have been peddling for years. Although, as Bill Clinton pointed out the other day, this time their agenda's on steroids. They want even bigger tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. They want even deeper cuts to things like education and Medicare and research and technology. They want to give banks and insurance companies even more power to do as they please. You know, and so when I hear Governor Romney say his 25 years in the private sector gives him a special understanding of how the economy works, my question is, why are you running with the same bad ideas that brought our economy to the brink of disaster? I mean, either he believes that it'll lead to a different result this time, although there's no evidence of that, or he's hoping you won't remember just what happened the last time we tried those bad ideas. And we're here to say we remember and we're not going back there. We're moving this country forward. I want to be clear. We don't expect government to solve all our problems, and it shouldn't try to solve all our problems. I learned from my mother that no education policy is more important than your parents nagging you and giving you the love and attention and scoldings you need.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. Absolutely. You know, my first job, one of my first jobs out of college, was working with a group of Catholic churches who taught me no poverty program can make as much of a difference in people's lives as the kindness and commitment and engagement of caring neighbors and caring friends. And not every regulation is smart. Not every tax dollar is spent wisely. And not every person can be helped who refuses to help themselves. But that's not an excuse to tell the vast majority of responsible, hardworking Americans, many of whom are struggling, you're on your own. That unless you're lucky enough to have parents who can afford to lend you money, you may not be able to go to college. That even if you pay your premiums every month, the insurance company may decide to drop your coverage when you need it most and you're out of luck. That's not who we are. That's not what built America. We built this country together. We built railroads and highways and the Hoover Dam and the Golden Gate Bridge. We built those things together. We sent my grandfather's generation to college on the GI Bill, including my grandfather. We did that together. We didn't do these things, making investments in research that ultimately led to the Internet or GPS or all these things that created platforms for private businesses to succeed. We didn't do these things for one particular individual or one particular group. We did it because we understood this will make us all richer. If we've got great public schools and great public universities and we're making these investments in outstanding infrastructure, that's good for everybody. Everybody can succeed. It moved us together as one nation and as one people. And that's the lesson, the true lesson of our past. That's the right vision for our future. That's why I'm running again for President of the United States. You know, I'm running to make sure that by the end of this decade, more of our citizens hold college degrees than any nation on earth. I want to help our schools hire and reward the best teachers, especially in math and science. I want to give 2 million more Americans the chance to go to community colleges and learn the skills that local businesses are looking for right now. In the 21st century, higher education cannot be a luxury. It is an economic imperative that every American should be able to afford, and we're going to make that happen. That's the choice in this election. That's why I'm running for president. I want to make sure the next generation of high-tech manufacturing takes root in Baltimore and Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I want to stop rewarding businesses that ship jobs overseas. I want to start rewarding companies that are creating jobs and investing right here in Maryland, right here in the United States of America. That's the choice in this election. I'm running because I want us to keep moving towards a future where we control our own energy. Our dependence on foreign oil is at its lowest point in 16 years. As I said, we doubled fuel efficiency standards on cars with cooperation from workers and management, which is why our cars will average nearly 55 miles per gallon. Thousands of Americans have jobs because the production of renewable energy in this country has doubled in just 3 years. Now's not the time to cut these investments out, especially when we're giving $4 billion away to oil companies every year. Now's the time to end those subsidies to an industry that's already profitable, double down on clean energy that has never been more promising for our economy and our security and for the safety of our planet. That's why I'm running for president. That's the choice in this election. For the first time in 9 years, there are no Americans fighting in Iraq. Bin Laden is no longer a threat to this country. Al-Qaeda is on the path to defeat. By 2014, the war in Afghanistan will be over. So there's a foreign policy dimension to this election. America is safer and more respected because of the courage and the selflessness of the United States Armed Forces. And as long as I'm Commander-in-Chief, with the help of this outstanding congressional delegation, this country will care for our veterans and serve our veterans as well as they served us. Nobody who fights for this country should have to fight for a job or a roof over their heads when they come home. Now, there's just a difference between me and the other guy on this issue. My opponent says it was tragic to end the war in Iraq. He won't set a timeline to end the war in Afghanistan. I have set that timeline. I intend to keep it, because after a decade of war that's cost us thousands of lives and over $1 trillion, the nation we need to build is our own. So I want to use half of what we're no longer spending on war to pay down our deficit. I want to invest the rest in education and research. I want us to repair our bridges and our roads, our runways, our wireless networks. And that's the choice in this election. I want to pay down our debt in a way that is balanced and responsible. You know, I love listening to these guys give us lectures about debt and deficits. I inherited a $1 trillion deficit. We had a surplus. They turned it into a deficit, built in a structural deficit that extends for decades. And isn't that something? So we inherited a $1 trillion deficit. We signed $2 trillion of spending cuts into law. I laid out a detailed plan for a total of $4 trillion in deficit reduction. My opponent won't admit it, but even when you account for the steps we took to prevent a depression and jumpstart the economy, right? So you include the Recovery Act, all the stuff we did to help states like Maryland make sure that they didn't have to lay folks off and put people back to work. Even if you take that into account, spending under my administration has grown more slowly than under any president in 60 years. So